The Gist is brought to you by Stamps.com. Buy and print official U.S. postage using your own computer and printer, and save up to 80% compared to a postage meter. Sign up for Stamps.com and get a 4-week trial and a $110 bonus offer when you use the promo code THEGIST. And by Realty Shares. With Realty Shares, you can invest in professionally vetted residential and commercial real estate projects across the United States. Browse all the investments at no cost once you're qualified, invest as little as $1,000 per transaction, and diversify your portfolio by visiting realtyshares.com/gist.
The following podcast contains explicit language.
It's Wednesday, November 4th, 2015. From Slate, it's The Gist. I'm Mike Pesca. You know the Romance languages, right? French, Italian, Spanish, Portuguese. Remember the last one? It's Romanian. Romance, Romanian, its namesake. Actually, I researched it. It seems to be a coincidence. But anyway, when you think about Romania, you now understand the connection that romance and affairs of the heart has with that country, and that gives rise to this development. The heart of Queen Marie of Romania has finally been moved from a museum to a castle, the castle where the queen died 77 years ago. Queen Marie was the granddaughter of Queen Victoria. She nursed soldiers during World War I. She was beloved for her charitable and diplomatic work. And what more fitting and totally unmacabre tribute than keeping the queen's organs in formaldehyde and moving them around from tourist attraction to tourist attraction, sort of like when a baseball team has bobblehead night to goose sales. The heart has now had four homes. It started in Bulgaria. Well, actually, it started in wherever Marie was at the time, but posthumously, there was Bulgaria, then it moved to Romania, then to the museum, and now the castle. The heart has never been to San Francisco, but unlike the case with Toni Braxton, it has remained intact, and they've never had to unbreak her heart. Oh, also, ooh, Barracuda, so long as we're doing heart songs. Near, far, wherever you are, I believe that the heart will go to Pelisor Castle in the same room where the rest of the queen died 77 years ago. They say home is where the heart is. Now her heart is where her home was. On the show today, I spiel about adult-ass men and adult-ass women flummoxed by grade school math. But first, from the heart to the colorectal region and red meat, does it cause cancer, or is that, you know? You know that feeling you get when you get things done with just the click of your mouse? That feeling that says, I've been on the internet, but I've been efficient? Well, you could get that feeling with Stamps.com. Mailing and shipping right from your desk. You don't even have to leave your home. It turns your PC or Mac into a personal post office that never closes. You buy and print official U.S. postage, then give it to the mailman. He knows what to do with it. He knows to say, actually, I'm a postal carrier. But that's fine. But for that one exchange, your life has become much more efficient. Right now, sign up for Stamps.com and use the promo code THEGIST for this special offer, a 4-week trial, $110 bonus offer. It includes postage and a digital scale. Don't wait. Go to Stamps.com before you do anything else. Click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in THE GIST. That's Stamps.com. Enter THE GIST. Red meat. It's what's for dinner. Or it'll kill you. Or the truth may lay somewhere in between. We as a society have gone through conniptions about how much red meat to eat, what kind of red meat to eat, when to eat the red meat. Should it always be paired with a red wine? So joining me now with all those answers, except the one that is based on an expert of sommelierism, is Maria Konnikova. She's the author of The Confidence Game and Mastermind, How to Think Like Sherlock Holmes. She also plays Is That Bullshit with Us for this, the Red Meat Edition. Hello, Maria.
Hey, Mike.
What is red meat? What meat's not red?
Ducks, chickens, fish,
geese. Anything that better scurry when I take you out in the Surrey with the fringe on top is
exactly
what you're saying.
Exactly. Right.
The flesh of four-legged animals
is red.
Yes. Pork is also red meat.
Pork, unfortunately, is also red meat.
Okay. So where'd the idea that red meat is bad, where'd that come from? How'd that gain purchase?
Oddly enough, a lot of it did come from kind of vegetarianism and from people who just thought that animals should not be eaten. But a lot of it also came from doctors who were studying heart disease and who didn't necessarily have any moral qualms about eating red meat or eating animals, but who said, hey, maybe cholesterol, you know, levels might be high, certain types of triglycerides, things in your blood that might rise when you eat red meat. So maybe you should cut it out of your diet. Maybe you should eat less of it. But by the way, this is a pretty recent trend, and it's also one that's gone up and down throughout history. So one of my favorite things to do, you know, this is how I pass a nice leisurely afternoon with a glass of wine. I look at the food pyramids for the last 50 years and compare the recommendations, the dietary recommendations over the years. You know, it's nice and relaxing.
Yeah.
Because after that, you can look at this and say every dietary recommendation is basically bullshit because you can see how much they've changed over
that
the years.
The actual doctors, I happen to know this, that came from the group Medicines Sans Serviette, or literally Doctors Without Napkins. It's a 401c3 over there in France. So, okay, let's not eat meat. Meat's bad for you. Red meat's bad for you. How did they confirm this, or did they confirm this with science? Was it mostly suspicion? You know, at one point, they were assembling those food pyramids, not just pulling stuff out of thin air. They said there was science behind it.
The reason that we're having this conversation now is because there was just an announcement that happened a few weeks ago.
Yes.
From the International Agency of Research into Cancer, which is an arm of the WHO, the World Health Organization. And they, are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Are you sitting down?
Yeah.
They studied the risk that both red meat and processed meat causes cancer. And to do that, they reviewed hundreds and hundreds of studies to try to come to a conclusion. Do we actually have any evidence that it's not just bad for you, but carcinogenic? And what they concluded, which sent everyone into a frenzy and some into I told you so, I think, states of mind, is that red meat is probably a carcinogen and processed meat is a carcinogen.
Mm-hmm. What is carcinogen? I know what carcinogen means. It causes cancer. But it seems like maybe there's carcinogen and there's carcinogen.
Well, Mike, you have just asked the million-dollar question.
Sadly, the study was funded to the tune of $12 million, so it doesn't even quite get there. But go ahead.
So you've identified the issue right there. So what this group does is look at the evidence. Do we have enough evidence to say that this is probably a cause of cancer? What they don't do is assess risk at all. And so one of the best analogies that I've seen, so people are saying, oh my God, processed meat, definitely cancer, right next to cigarettes, same risk of cancer as cigarettes.
There were literally headlines that said, yes, World Health Organization says processed meat's as bad as cigarettes.
Right. And this is incredibly misleading. It's in the same category because we know now there's a lot of evidence that both are linked to cancer,
right,
but not the relative degree of risk.
We're certain that cigarettes have an extreme likelihood of causing you lung cancer, whereas we're certain that red meats have a little tiny chance of causing you cancer.
And not red meats, processed meats.
Processed.
Because
meats,
red meats are in the probably.
Yeah.
And so one of the best analogies, and I can't take credit for this even though I really want to, that I read is banana peels.
Mm-hmm.
So we can say with certainties that stepping on a banana peel causes accidents. Just like we can say with certainty that cars cause accidents, mm-hmm, so you can get into car accidents. However, when you step on a banana peel, first of all, the chance of you stepping on a banana peel, unless you're in a Marx Brothers movie, is probably pretty low. Or Three Stooges, I guess.
Yeah.
Unless you're in one of
Max
those.
Max Sennett film. Yeah. Laurel, Hardy, etc.
And what's going to happen to you? You might fall. You might get off balance. You might hit yourself. That's probably it. But if you get into a car accident, first of all, the risk is much higher. Secondly, there's a likelihood you're going to die, suffer from serious injury, etc. So in our scenario, the banana peel is...
Oh, the banana peel is the processed meat.
Yep. Whereas the tobacco is the car.
Yes.
They're in the same group, right next to each other.
And my advice for avoiding banana peel accidents is this. Look around. If you don't see anyone with a slide whistle, you're fine.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're, whoop, if you see one of those guys, then you probably should watch out for banana peel. But go ahead.
So let's actually look at the numbers.
All right.
So what we know, and this is based on the best available data, so this is, take this with a grain of salt.
Which previous episodes of Is That Bullshit indicate might not be that bad for you, but go ahead.
So here are some projections for the global, worldwide incidence of disease caused by these different things. Processed meat, 34,000 cases of colorectal cancer a year, which isn't nothing, but we're talking about the entire world.
Right.
Right? Tobacco, 1 million. Alcohol, 600,000. Air pollution, over 200,000.
Mm-hmm.
And this is likely.
Banana peels? You got the banana peels number?
The cancer risk of banana peels is non-existent.
Okay.
Yes. They gave you a percentage. They said, you know, increases the chance by 18%.
Yeah.
But this
from
is
what
the
to
question.
What?
From what to what? Exactly. And by the way, that statistic isn't even from what to what. It's based on the people who are in the highest category of processed meat eaters as compared to the lowest category.
Okay.
So it's
the guy who lives next to the Knackwurst factory.
Exactly.
Hans from the Knackwurst factory.
Who eats it every single day.
Yes.
By the way, and we're also talking about those levels. This is eating it every single day.
So what does it go from what to what?
So no, so it isn't even from what to what. We're talking from between categories.
Okay, so at the extreme, if you go from almost never to almost always,
your risk goes up by 18%.
18%. There's always something also that confused me about colorectal cancer. It's just all you're doing is saving the N from colon rectal cancer. Why abbreviate it?
I have no idea.
Just call it colon rectal cancer.
This was my problem with EKG. I always used to think it was because doctors were illiterate because electrocardiogram, cardio is obviously spelled with a C, ends up it's from German, where cardio is apparently spelled with a K.
Similar problems.
And by the way, that difference in groups is a 50-gram increase causes that.
So processed meat, first of all, I'm not even sure what processed is. I know it's supposed to be bad. Don't eat processed food. But bacon's just pig, isn't it? What's the difference?
Well, so when you process it, they often have nitrates, right? That's one of the ways that you cure it. And that can be broken down into the gut into compounds that are called N-nitroso compounds. And these compounds can damage the cells, the colorectal lining cells, which then have to be repaired. And in that process of repair, there can be errors in DNA replication. One of those errors could cause cancer. This is just a theory. This is not the definitive answer, but this is a theory that has some support. There's also, as with everything, some microbiome theories.
So how do they even do these studies to isolate just one thing in a diet?
It's basically impossible. Mm-hmm. So a lot of these red meat studies, by the way, ended up getting rejected after they made splashy headlines because they didn't control for things like smoking and alcohol, which are often correlated with red meat consumption. And so the only way that you can really do it is not in humans, because humans are just too difficult to control. So we do mice studies, we do rat studies, where you feed them very specific diets and also in ridiculously high doses, which is why it doesn't always translate to humans. And then you can see, oh, the mice who got fed only red meat for however many weeks in doses that would be the equivalent of you, Mike, eating maybe 10 steaks a day, suddenly were more likely to develop cancer.
Yeah, there literally were headlines like The Guardian, processed meats rank alongside smoking as cancer causes.
Yeah.
Who?
But this is the WHO's fault, because the WHO has this stupid category way that has absolutely no bearing on risk. Their process of categorization involves these types of errors, because for someone who wants to do a story quickly, who doesn't want to take the time to kind of understand what it actually means, hey, they are right next to each other in the same group.
Well, now, since you've set us straight about the WHO, we won't get fooled again. All right, we got to do our famous game. Eating red meat causes cancer. Is that bullshit?
Red meat, for now, yes, that is bullshit, because it's only probably processed meat. No, that's not bullshit. It has been linked to cancer with a lot of evidence. However, your increase risk is very, very small. And the overall risk for that cancer is still very, very small.
Smaller than a bacon bit?
I don't know. That study has yet to be done. And red meat also has a lot of things that are really good for you. And as with any nutrition and with any diet, almost everything is good for you in moderation, and almost everything becomes bad for you in excess. And so in moderation from red meat, you get protein, you get iron, you get zinc, you get really important things that are really good for your overall health, which aren't processed nearly as well if you just take them as supplements.
Maria Konnikova is the author of The Confidence Game and Mastermind, colon, not colo, colon, How to Think Like Sherlock Holmes. Thank you, Maria.
Thank you, Mike.
If you invest, you want a diverse portfolio, and real estate can be an excellent way to get diversity. Look no further than RealtyShares.com at RealtyShares.com/gist. RealtyShares is an online real estate investment marketplace that allows accredited investors to invest as little as $1,000 per transaction in residential and commercial real estate projects all across the United States. Thousands of investors use the platform to invest in real estate deals that are sourced and vetted by experienced investment professionals. You can browse and invest in minutes, all from your computer. Go to RealtyShares.com/gist to create your free account today. And now the spiel, not adding up. The other day on this show, we played this clip. We were talking about Jeb Bush's embrace of the Common Core. He was asked by conservative blogger Eric Erickson, what's up with that?
My wife is college educated. We have a daughter who's now going into fourth grade. We appreciate your dedication to education standards, but she can't help our third grader with her math homework because of the Common Core material. And so...
So up until recently, my relationship to the Common Core and math was, okay, these are some new techniques, and it's not as if the USA is crushing it at math. We're 35th in the latest rankings. If there were a World Cup of Math, we would not be invited unless we were the host of the World Cup of Math, but then we'd probably screw up the dates because dates are numbers and we're bad at math. Occasionally, a term shows up in my son's math homework, and I don't understand it, so I ask him to teach it to me, and guess what? That is an excellent teaching tool. Or I figure it out from context, or I, in a snit, post a cri de corps to social media and then get invited on local Ohio Fox News. No, wait, that wasn't me. That was Doug Herman of Painesville, Ohio.
I'm a 41-year-old educated father of two, and I can't help my second grader and my first grade daughter with their math homework.
Mr. Herman was found by Fox after one of his complaints on Facebook went viral, and I understand. I understand the word frustration. It came up over and over again in his interview.
There's just a lot of terminology in there, and I didn't get it. I didn't understand it, and it's just very frustrating.
I have sympathy. Doug Herman wants to help his kids with their homework. Notice, by the way, that Eric Erickson consigned his wife to helping the kids with the homework. No word if Eric Erickson ever waded into the deep end of the elementary multiplication pool. And it does seem that communicating the curriculum to parents is something schools need to do. Then again, parents have a responsibility also, a responsibility it seems that Doug Herman is not too eager to embrace.
You got to give us a crash course in Common Core, but a lot of people don't have the time, nor do they want to go learn how to teach second grade math.
Listen, I understand that some school districts are too cash-strapped to have a back-to-school night where they teach the parents these methods, or they don't have enough money to have a website where they do that, or they don't have enough money to copy off some pages and send them home. Maybe they do have back-to-school nights, but the parents can't make back-to-school night. They're exhausted, they work nights, whatever. But I've got to believe that the vast majority of parents, especially parents with the resources to make funny posts on social media and the time to sit for interviews with Fox News stations, can learn the techniques that their third and second and first graders learn. By the way, interviews with Fox News station keep popping up in this story. Here was Lindsay Boxe, confused mom on Fox. She was asked by Tucker Carlson to describe her confusion.
The math is ridiculous. It's stressful. I don't even know what a 10 stick is, nonetheless, of what even they're trying to ask. I don't even know how to really explain it. When you look at it, I have no idea what they're talking about.
Later, Fox posted a page from her daughter's homework, which instructed students to add a pair of two-digit numbers.
When she comes home with this, I don't understand why it's wrong. So, and add tens, I don't even understand what that means.
What do? You You Google the phrase add tens. I did. Got hundreds of hits explaining the concept. Tons of images of first grade worksheets. A helpful video or two, including this one from New Zealand.
Now you can see down here, I've got a group of 14. This 14 is made up of a 10 and 4 ones. And over here, I've got 3 tens or 30.
But this mom did not Google or watch videos. Maybe because doing that does not land you on Fox. This mom took to social media to complain and to ask for guidance. And here's what she found.
And apparently you are supposed to add the actual 10 spot. So you're supposed to, if it's 50 plus 60, you're supposed to add the 5 and 6, and your answer is 11, which is completely mind-boggling because I don't even pay my bills that way, which
right.
I'm getting a headache even
trying to process it.
Oh, yeah. Adding 50 and 60 somehow relies on the fact that 5 plus 6 equals 11? What could be less relevant to adding 50 and 60 than this totally recondite bit of numerical wizardry? That was Tucker Carlson exhibiting confusion. His co-host was utterly baffled, and when Tucker was talking, the co-host actually did the "my head explodes" move. But it's not just Fox. Last year, comedian Louis C.K. tweeted frustration at Common Core. And I remember reading that story, and at the time, I wasn't knee-deep in Common Core. I just said to myself, Common Core must be confusing. Louis's confused. Then last week, I went to this meeting at my school. I learned some of the concepts. And a day later, I revisited Louis's tweets. One thing I noticed is he seemed more frustrated by all the testing than the Common Core teaching practices. But upon further examination, it does seem that Louis was doing a version, a funnier, less over-the-top version, of those Fox parents.
I managed to go through all my education without even learning a number cube or a 10 stick.
And that's it, isn't it? I didn't have to do this. This is weird to me. It's the material's fault for being inherently confusing. Hey. I'll concede that when a school implements a curriculum that could be confusing the parents, it's the school's job to teach the parents. But we as parents have to meet them halfway, don't we? Can we just say, I'm not interested in re-enrolling in second grade? So you heard all those parents, not just the ones I played. There are many. They expressed frustration. Okay. Frustration can arise from trying to do the impossible or from trying to do the difficult, maybe even the difficult but necessary. So we're a society that knows we need to improve in math with this one proviso. We could never teach math any differently than we've ever taught math. But we do need to have better results. This is about more than elementary school math. So many national decisions come down to, we need to keep doing this the same way, or it was good enough for me, or I find this thing initially off-putting, therefore it's a bad thing. I also think it's fair to note that inherent in the idea of conservatism is the tendency to conserve, to resist change. Sometimes that's the right instinct, but not always. When a reaction's knee-jerk, I suspect it. Do these frustrated parents really represent a dutiful effort to try to meet their children's school halfway? Or are they knee-jerk reactions? You know, the complaining parents we heard about, where'd the TV producers find them? On social media, Facebook, Twitter. The enablers of id. Those technologies exist to pop off, not to hunker down. And do we think places like Fox News are trustworthy conduits for the complaints? Head explodes. I think Common Core has a huge PR problem. Once you've lost Louis, you've lost some percentage of progressive thinkers. Though Louis does have a bit of the cranky old dinosaur in him, too. I see what Common Core is trying to do, so I put in some effort. Not that much, by the way, but some effort to make it work for my family. Hey, maybe I'm exceptional. Maybe I have so many more resources than the average parent. And I'll concede curricula has to work for everyone. Has to work for parents who pop off on social media and go on TV and complain. Has to work for parents who are good at math, bad at math. Has to work for the easily frustrated as well as the resourceful. And I'm not saying that Common Core works. I'm not saying that Common Core will succeed. But maybe it's that we're not putting in enough work to allow Common Core to succeed. And that's it for today's show. Just producer Andrea Salenzi requests that her fingers be preserved in Crisco and served at room temperature to all her enemies or the first 9 callers to the contest line. You ever heard that fact that the small intestine, when entirely unwrapped, can measure up to 30 feet? Well, fact-checking that statement turns out to be executive producer Andy Bauer's final and most disgusting wish. The Gist, follow us on Twitter, @SlateGist, or on Facebook, facebook.com/SlateGist. When I go, please have my knees reversed, a hump installed, and my eyelids tripled. It is my desire to be preserved as a stuffed camel that my children can climb upon and marvel at in between their copious, copious therapy sessions. Oomparoo deparoo dooparoo, and thanks for listening.
Vanity Fair's Little Gold Men podcast brings you the latest updates from the campaign trail. The Oscar campaign, that is. Will the voters choose the establishment favorite?
It's Spielberg and it's Disney. You know, it goes down easy enough.
An upstart outsider with a compelling story.
There's a chance you show it and the audience just goes, I do not accept Jason Segel as David Foster Wallace.
Or has the eventual winner not even entered the race yet?
And we were all sitting here this year waiting on these three December movies that no one has seen.
Subscribe to Little Gold Men from Vanity Fair and Panoply.